The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Legal Show here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast, and in a sense, this is a part of our Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. Having said that, we've got some fantastic guests on the broadcast. They couldn't make it, so these two guys filled in for them. But we got the best of the best here on the broadcast. Tom Giordano, Palma Hockey and Giordano. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And of course, Drew Von Bargen of Saul Off and Zervanos. How are you, Drew?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And Dr. Bruce Grossinger's in the house. How are you, Doc?
Doing great, Joe. Thank you.
Doc, by the way, has been here since 7 o'clock this morning, but likes to make a grand entrance.
Of course.
You know, there's no, you know, the trumpets. You missed your cue there, bro. If you would, Tom Giordano, anybody who might not have driven on the highways here and has been living in a desert island under a rock, could you tell our listeners a little bit about Palma Hockey, but also what you do? And, you know, along with it, the workers' compensation, Social Security disability is a big part of what you do, if you would.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And Doc, it's good seeing you.
Great to see you, too.
Thanks for wearing a tie, making us feel bad over here. Best dressed guy in the room. So, yeah, Palma Hockey, Giordano, we are, I'm assuming, the largest Pennsylvania workers' compensation firm. We are a nationwide Social Security disability firm, which is area of the firm I concentrate in. We do long-term disability as well. And obviously, we refer a lot of our cases to firms like Drew's and others throughout the country. But we help people who obviously get hurt on the job. That's easy. But what I do specifically is I help individuals who are unable to work because of any medical reason. And you know, Drew will get into what he does. Obviously, there's specific causation involved. Yeah, something has to happen, an event, even at work. If it happens at work, it happens where you trip and fall on somebody's premises. Well, I don't worry about that. What I do is, if you have any medical conditions whatsoever and you cannot do the job that you've been doing most of your life, you are entitled to Social Security disability. People don't even realize, Joe, that they've actually paid into this system their entire working life. I mean, if Sam was here, you know, he'd be slamming on the table right now talking about that.
But, yeah, no question about it. Yeah. You talk about, we've had done many Social Security disability shows and live. We've talked to live unions and stuff like that. Yeah. And one of the things that will stick with me for the rest of my life, and I've brought it up many times, is the talk you had with the Ironworkers Union, which are my people. I'll never forget the list of, you know, we go over the, you know, the requirements, okay, and the advantages and all those things, but also, you know, they have, there's a timetable for when, you know, you need to be able to apply for it. I'll never forget the time we were talking to the retirees at Local 401, and a lot of them, okay, had been retired for a long time, and they missed the deadline. And the look on their face, and I thought, never again is that ever going to happen on my watch if I can, you know, make sure. So we've done many presentations to individuals. When you mentioned Sam, let's talk, yeah, not an entitlement.
Yep.
Fact of the matter is that, you know, his passion for it is unmatched. I mean, you know, it's almost like he's talking about the Super Bowl or something like that. I mean, but it's so important for people to understand that you're paying in, what's it, an insurance policy and a health policy?
Yeah, think about it. 6.2% of each of our paychecks, okay, every pay period are coming, FICA taxes, they call them. And when they're going into the Social Security Trust Fund, and they're going to pay for retirement, which most people know it's 62, it's 66, you can get your Social Security retirement. But most people don't realize you're also paying for a disability fund. Whereas if you, any medical conditions, again, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, bad back, bad knees, and we can name everything. And especially with the iron workers, we were talking, because that's a physical job they're doing their entire life. Nobody's retiring from an iron work job healthy, right? You have aches and pains. You're eligible for disability. So yeah, you paid into this system. They just don't even know it's there, which is why, you know, I'm always happy to talk on the radio about it, because people don't realize they have it.
Absolutely. And we're going to continue that conversation. Drew Von Bargen, if you would remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and what the firm does.
Sure. I'm with Saul Off and Zervanos. We are a 100% personal injury law firm handling a range of different types of cases, including motor vehicle accidents, trucking accidents, products liability claims, medical malpractice. We do a lot of crime victim representation, representing folks who have been victims of some type of crime, whether it be a sexual assault, a violent crime like a murder. And so we kind of run the gamut of the whole personal injury world. And I would say that, you know, most of our cases are mid to large size cases, but we do take just about anything that we think is viable. And, you know, I can say that I've got the most satisfaction sometimes representing the smaller cases and, you know, seeing what you can do for them and how you can change their lives in you know, very meaningful ways.
Absolutely. As you know, John Zervanos does a broadcast, and Tom's actually doing that show with John next week. You look at the array of personal injury, okay, and you know the crime victim, the civil sexual assault, but that ranges to also the slip and fall or the auto accident. Okay, when one of the things I like to talk about, and this is in both worlds, personal injury, okay, and in workers' compensation and Social Security disability, first thing people are going to ask, okay, when they listen to this broadcast, is how much is it going to cost me to retain these guys? So clearly, you know, top attorneys and handle really big cases, but at the same time, individuals are, you know, they're hurt, okay, or they're, you know, they can't do the job that they've always done. How much does it out of pocket cost to retain yourself in the firm, Drew?
Yeah, so we work on a contingency fee, meaning that we don't get paid anything up front. There's no retainer fee. You don't pay us by the hour. We only get paid at the end if we're successful. Generally speaking, in the personal injury sector, fees in Pennsylvania can range from approximately a third to 40%. But that's constantly changing. With my cases, I like to try to keep on the lower side, around a one-third fee. Which I think, you know, at least used to be the norm, but again, here in Philadelphia, it's starting to see that number go up a little bit. But again, I like to kind of keep it at a third unless the case is incredibly complex.
Tom Giordano, talk about Social Security disability and workers' compensation and the out-of-pocket cost it would take to retain to talk to you or one of your fellow attorneys.
All right, so this is something I'm really passionate about, Joe. In fact, I think we're going to film a commercial on this topic specifically. So much like Drew, it's completely contingent. There's nothing out of pocket, okay? So you only pay us if you win. Now, in Pennsylvania, in workers' comp, it's a 20% fee. And that means if you go to Pondley Hockey or you go to
Smith,
anybody in the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, we're charging the same thing, 20%. In Social Security disability, it's 25% of your back benefits only. Again, that's statutory. So any attorney who does SSD work throughout the country, it's the same price. So here's where I'm passionate about. If you can essentially hire a firm and pay the same, but yet you can get the best for the same price as the worst, right? And I guarantee you, well, I shouldn't say that. I'm a lawyer. I can't guarantee anything. But what I can say to you is our results are such that you are going to get 2 to 3 to 4 times more than you would have gotten at maybe another firm, because we just fight more and we'll do that for you. Why wouldn't you go to the firm? Same price.
Well, it's interesting because it's the resources that it wouldn't. And one part of the education, first of all, I'll say this. I'll jump through hoops to talk about the contingency fee agreement. It's the great equalizer, okay? But what people don't realize, you talk about those resources and being able to fight and the same thing in your world, Drew. One of the things people don't realize is, first of all, they don't realize what specialists are, number one. You know, you can't just go to somebody who dabbles, okay? But also you need to go to firms that have the resources and, you know, the ability to be able to move the needle and be successful, okay? And like you said, Tom, the contingency fee agreement, the ability to be able to, have a representation at the top level without people don't know about contacting experts or having an intake and a team that can that's there for you 24/7. Those are part of the reasons why we do what we do, so people understand you can get the best representation without coming out of pocket. Dr. Bruce Grossinger, if you would, a little bit about yourself and the practice and how you relate to this entire scenario.
Sure. So my name is Dr. Bruce Grossinger. Our practice is Grossinger Neuropain. We cover a lot of ground in the sense that we treat a lot of the professional athletes here. As you know, I do a lot of media with the Eagles. Certainly, Pondley Hockey sponsors our post-game show with Mike Missinelli and Seth Joyner, and we're really appreciative of that. And what I do in my office, I take care of anybody in pain. anybody who has a headache, a concussion, spine pain, orthopedic pain. We try to get people better without surgery, including methods such as spinal injections, regenerative medicine, PRP, stem cell. And we also take, much like our esteemed colleagues here, when you have a workers' comp case, if it's denied, we will still see you. If it's in the first 90 days, we'll still see you. If you have an exhausted car accident case, and Mr. Von Bargen, we've certainly crossed paths, and he's, you know, your firm and John and Don are very good people. When they come to see me, sometimes they'll have an exhausted case, and many doctors won't see them. If somebody needs to be seen, we see them. If somebody needs something like a PRP or stem cell, we'll attach the bill. And again, there's a 90-day rule, but a little secret, which I've shared openly, it's the quiet part out loud. There's no panel that has a neurologist on the panel. And even though I've stimulated people to change that, it's not even the case. In fact, I met with somebody from the city of Philadelphia earlier, and you and I do work with the Philadelphia School District. There is no neurologist on the panel, even in Philadelphia, fairly large city. So the fact is, anybody within the sound of our voice, if you have any problem or you have pain, you don't want to be doped up with narcotics, you don't want to get cut, you come to Grossinger NeuroPain.
And let's talk about the medical part of things, okay? And the importance of, you know, say, you know, listen, you're in the world, you're in the injury world, okay? And this may sound common sense, but talk about the impact and the importance of having credible quality medical care, and the fact that a lot of times you just can't go to your family doctor for some reason. You know, and by the way, if it wasn't for the legal community, you know, I, in a sense, acting as organizers to be able to organize networks of professionals that will advocate on behalf of injured, because like the doc said, a lot of times there could be claim petitions. A lot of times in your world, Drew, and in yours, Tom, these things don't happen overnight. Okay, talk about the importance of having medical professionals that will advocate on behalf of the client. And especially, you know, when you talk about a personal injury, sometimes these cases, even if they're slam dunk cases, will last a year, 2 years, sometimes even three.
Yeah. I mean, I use Dr. Grossinger a lot when it comes to not just treating my clients for the injuries and the pain that they have, but I've used him a lot also to serve as an expert in my cases. And I can tell you, just most recently, I had an arbitration last week, and there were competing expert reports. One was Dr. Grossinger's report, and the other, I don't remember the doctor's name, and I, even if I did,
his name will remain
it.
In infamy.
Exactly. And, you know, the arbitrator heard the conflicting testimonies, read through the conflicting expert reports. And when he came back, he found in our favor. He awarded my client money. It's a confidential amount. But I can tell you that in the arbitrator's opinion, he specifically went to great lengths to say how he found Dr. Grossinger's report to be more credible. And so it can be the difference between winning and losing a case, quite frankly.
Tom, and yeah. Workers' comp, but and Social Security disability as well.
Let's start with workers' comp, because I think it's really important you understand that if you're coming in our firm, the first thing we're going to do as soon as we sign you up is we're going to send you to a doctor. Because what Dr. Grossinger indicated earlier is there's this 90-day, I'm calling it a myth, and that's what we call it at our firm, because it's a myth. It's a 90-day rule that somehow has gained traction, that if you get hurt on the job in Pennsylvania, the first 90 days, you have to work with an employer panel doctor. That is so false. Three things have to happen for that to happen, and 99% of the time, they don't do it. Number one, when you get hired, you fill out a piece of paper that indicates that you're going to treat with the panel.
Right.
Number two, they actually have the panel listed on, and they usually have this one, they have the panel listed somewhere where you can see it. And number three, at the date of injury, you have to sign that same acknowledgement letter again. That never happens. So you're free to treat with whoever you want. And as soon as you come into our firm, first thing we're doing is we're sending it to a doc like Grossinger so that we can get you on the even playing field.
One of the things that's so very difficult is, well, first of all, the amount of people that don't know about what you just said, okay? I'll throw a fourth thing in there, and this is where Pond the Hockey really comes through, and that is where there's a collective bargaining agreement, and the need for your attorney to know about your collective bargaining agreement, okay, that is so vital, okay? But even if you have a collective bargaining agreement, like let's just say you're the SEPTA union, right? Yeah. TW-234, yeah. They have one. By the way, Sam has consulted on that, you know, like literally speaking. So he and I have had long conversations. As far as a part of our injured workers program, I mean, they send their injured workers to Palmahockey. And so what's vital about that is when I was educated about that, I learned fairly quickly years ago that it could be your job if you don't know about your collective bargaining agreement. If your attorney doesn't understand about it, there can be restrictions. But what is not a restriction is you can go and get a second opinion, and do all those things. One of the issues that's important is that if you don't get legal consultation, and what people don't understand and it has ruined lives, is that first of all, we work for our employer for a long time. We're good people, okay? And you don't want to, you're sitting there, you're like an injury like I have right now, right? Literally, I've gone to the emergency room 2 times, and both times they could only rule out what they. Point I'm saying is that that's a custom made injury. If it was a work injury, that would be. If I didn't go get legal counsel for that almost right away, I'd be getting toyed with and beat up, okay, constantly. So you don't know the laws and the rules, okay? So you think that you have to go to these panel doctors. Some cases you do, but you need a second opinion if you have. And when I say that, if you have the collective bargaining agreement that says you have to do it, you can still see some. Who's going to tell you about that? But your attorney that's there to protect your rights. And by the time you actually get to them, Doc, you've seen some of these. Drew Van Bargen just talked about the credibility and the importance of all those things. A lot of times, and I know the three of you know this, but some of these individuals, some of these people who have gotten hurt, who have laid their hearts on the line, okay, and trusted people that they've worked for decades and decades, they're getting sent to places where they're not even doctors that they're running into. So, that's why it's so important to get the legal consultation, because they're running into a system that immediately when you get hurt, their legal protocols start. I think there's
two issues, and you bring it up. One is people always assume that the provider you see with the white coat is actually a doctor. But as we know, without mentioning the names, there are a lot of these fly-by-night operations. There's one on every block where they fancy themselves to be workers' comp centers. They're really extensions of the insurance company, and their job really is to not do any tests that are necessary, to sweep things under the rug, and to basically advocate not for you. So a lot of times the people will go and they will spend not only 90 days, they might spend a year there and basically not get better, not get any tests, not get treatment, and they finally come to us. Another thing that's a misconception with workers' comp is that you're suing your employer, that it's a lawsuit. And of course, you and I have done a few of these shows together. The grand bargain, the fact that you're entitled to workers' compensation coverage when you have
an injury. By the way, I taught Sam about the grand
bargain. Yeah, you taught him.
When he talks about it on shows.
He talks about it in his sleep.
He does. Yeah. He's educated me. He'll even look at me and go, I guess, why don't you take it from here, Joe? Because he's taught me so much about it. But yeah, no, I
got So the
it.
Point is, when you're out there in this, we're the fifth largest city. There are a lot of people in the umbrella listening to our voices. If you've been injured at work, or if you felt you've had repetitive injuries where you've been working on the assembly line and your hands are getting numb, that's still a work-related injury. It doesn't have to be an occurrence, a single instance. It could be something repetitively where you've worked for 20 years and now you have sciatica and you're thinking, well, that's just cumulative. So number one, when you speak to somebody like Palmahockey and Tom Giordano, who's, as he knows, is my only go-to guy for disability, why is that? Well, Tom, he gets his hand on everything. He's not just a delegator. So Tom has a whole team of people, and there's a lot of attorneys who just dabble in disability. They do it for a little side hustle. But this is Tom's whole thing. And I've got nothing but great reviews from you and your team. And I know that I have people that are disabled. When I get done treating for their active workers' comp case or their third party with you, Drew, they're just not able to go back to work. And they think that they're just done. And the fact of the matter is, that's when we get Tom Giordano, Panlahaki involved, because this is an administrative process. It's an administrative judge. It's a whole different type of process. But it's my job to provide appropriate documentation to Panlahaki. Everything's digitized so that not only does Mr. Giordano get all my records, but all the other records, the medical records, the diabetic neuropathy, you know, any problem, the rheumatoid arthritis, all that stuff, because in disability, everything factors into the issue. And if somebody can't do a part-time sedentary duty job, for whatever reason, they have a brain injury, they can't sit, then they're disabled. So and that's what I have to recognize is it's a service that I could perform to send one of my patients to Tom Giordano and his whole division of disability, because people just don't know that they're entitled to that.
So let's talk about when we all work together.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about in a third party sense. Okay. One of the things we've talked about a lot is a holistic approach. Okay. Somebody gets injured on a job. Okay. But there's a third party element. Okay. And Drew, if you would tell our listeners what I'm talking about there.
Sure. So the question is, when do we all work together? And Dr. Grossinger mentioned a moment ago that when you are injured at work, a lot of people think they might be suing their employer, but that's not true. It's a workers' comp claim through the insurance company.
Right.
When people are injured at work, oftentimes they get injured by some third-party action or neglect. And just as an example, that might mean you're driving a tractor trailer and you are on the highway and you get hit head on. And so in that situation, you're working. And so you technically have a workers' comp claim, but you also have a third-party injury claim against the driver that crashed into you head on. And so oftentimes folks like myself and Tom will work together. I'll handle the third-party claim against the other driver, and Tom will handle the workers' comp component of that claim. He'll make sure that everything is being handled from an insurance standpoint with the workers' comp insurance company, making sure that they are getting their medicals paid for. He'll make sure that if they aren't able to work, that their wages are getting paid. And so there's a lot of overlap in that sense. And then since it all relates to an injury in the first place, that's where we all loop in Dr. Grossinger to make sure that they're being cared for properly.
So let's talk about that, that process, because one of the things that's so important, a lot of that comes into play with the culture of the firms and the practice, okay, which I think is so important. Sometimes you worry about communications, okay, you worry about, and now, especially when you talk about a holistic approach, Tom, that you and Sam and Jerry talk about a lot, which is a 1,000-foot view of something. You're talking about, obviously, depending upon who gets it first, either Drew sending it to your firm or you sending it to Drew's firm and working together and then bringing in the medical with the doc. A lot of moving parts. People get worried, when they're trying to pick an attorney about the communication part, okay? Now, you not only, that's important, but now you have multiple departments at Panlahaki. You have departments at Saul Evans Urbanos, and you have the medical, okay? Let's talk about the importance, okay? First of all, of your referral network,
sure.
The priority of your referral network, and the importance not only of communicating with the client, the individual who now is dealing with several different departments, okay, but also the professional network that's there as it applies to the case itself and how it impacts. Let's just say it comes to you first. The case comes to you first, Drew. It's a, let's throw a scenario out there. 52-year-old, let's just say, well, I'll go with an iron worker who gets injured at work because He was walking with the crane in the hole, and another subcontractor dug a hole and didn't put safety tape around it. He falls in that, okay, and gets badly injured. He didn't dig the hole. His company didn't dig the hole. Somebody else did. So now he's injured, and somehow, you know, I mean, and, you know, he does the right thing, calls the firm, and then you realize there's a third party. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, so if there's a viable third-party injury claim because the injury stems from some other third-party negligence not related to the employer itself, that's a case that we would pursue.
But it is a work comp, so there...
But like you said, there is a wrinkle to it where there is workers' comp involved. We've said during this broadcast that we're all specialists here. We are ultra-focused on our subspecialty. So our subspecialty is personal injury practice, and within that, we do construction accidents. But knowing that there's a workers' comp component to it, and that's not our subspecialty, we'll refer to someone like Tom who can handle that. And there is great peace of mind knowing that you're referring the workers' comp piece to a competent workers' comp attorney who specializes in these types of things, because at the end of the day, you don't want your client coming to you and asking you workers' compensation questions when that's not your forte. You want to make sure it's being handled by someone who does this day in and day out.
It's funny because I did a show with John Zervanos recently, and he said something funny. He said, you know, when I was younger, I dabbled in workers' comp. He said, briefly. He said, I realized, you know, that, you know, and John's an incredible attorney. We know that. But it's a great point, okay? You know, the specialties, it's so important. So now you bring in a workers' compensation firm. You're handling the third party element, which is, you know, the negligent party. Tom, at that point, okay, and a lot of times it happens the exact opposite,
exactly,
where you get the work, you get the work comp first. But let's talk about that, okay? You get this, an injured worker, it's a third party. Talk about that holistic approach and working together with the professionals.
So, you know, even if you're coming to us just for workers' comp, like, I hate to say this to you, but we're going to look at everything. I mean, that's just what we do. Even if that, I only want to focus on workers' comp, I want nothing else. It's in our DNA that we're going to see.
Why wouldn't you do that?
You know, sometimes people they just don't think.
You might have a point there, but guess what? I just got injured. I'm 52 years old. I may never work again.
Right.
I'm not a damn lawyer.
Right.
Okay, so if you're not looking out for me, what am I going to do?
Right. So let's use the age right there, because 52 is an interesting age. If you're 32, if you're 42, our thoughts are probably going to be, let's help you get back to work as soon as you possibly physically and mentally are able to do so, right? Obviously, work with the referral attorney, Drew. You make sure that we're communicating about our cases at all times. But if you're 52, you've been an iron worker for 25, almost 30 years, now we're looking holistically at you, the big picture, and we're saying, okay, well, we're going to help you in workers' comp, but, you know, we're going to send you to doc here and see how it goes. And if he gets you 100%, that's fantastic. But at 50, your body doesn't really respond like it used to.
Probably
right?
not able to train myself to get in a new career.
So then now I'm thinking, all right, well, there also might be a Social Security disability case here as well. And that's kind of how all of this ties in together. You know, we're looking at age, we're looking at your occupation, we're looking at your injuries. But we're all communicating at all times, and we all need each other. It's extremely important. But I would always tell anybody, if you have two attorneys who are from separate firms working on two different cases, you know, it's extremely important that you get those two communicating, because you need to.
Drew, how does the work comp case impact the personal injury?
Well, I'd say the most significant way it impacts a personal injury case is that when a worker is receiving workers' compensation benefits, the workers' comp insurance company asserts what's called a lien, meaning, yes, they're paying you for your medicals. Yes, they are paying you for any time that you've missed from work. But they look at the fact that you're pursuing a third-party claim against the negligent party, and they're saying, if you're going to get money from that person or that company, we would like to be paid back. So that's probably the most significant way that I see the two overlapping, and the thing that you have to kind of be aware of the most. I had a case recently where a woman, she was leaving work. She was in the parking lot at her job, and someone pulled through and struck her as she was walking through the crosswalk. Her workers' compensation insurance company paid over $300,000 between medicals and wage loss. And so you have to look at the third-party injury claim and say, well, how are we going to pay this back? And you need to really make sure that the insurance company for the at-fault party is aware of that lien and that they are putting that into their valuation of the case.
Dr. Grossinger, first of all, with the attorneys, compliance. So now we have you know, maybe three potential situations going on: workers' comp, the third party, and Social Security disability. Okay, so you have a team, okay, and you know, it's personal. I know when you refer a case to a you know, personal injury firm or workers' compensation case, it's, you know, you have some individual sitting across from you, and that firm that you're dealing with, it has to be an extension of you. Because, yeah, by the way, if that's that firm or that attorney is inaccessible, who's getting a call? You are. You might as well be doing it yourself. So I know that's incredibly important. Okay, now we're talking. Now we have to bring the medical in. Okay, and let's talk about compliance. Okay, and the fact that you know, as attorneys, you may be in a situation where somebody's emotionally distraught. I mean, I can't imagine how many times that happens a day, but it's probably a normal situation. Let's talk about that compliance, Doc, and the fact that, you know, you now have somebody who's in a third-party situation, potential, I mean, they maybe broke their, you know, their back or something where they're in jeopardy and not being able to ever work again. Not too much on the line, okay? Talk about treating that person and also keeping the open lines of communication with the attorneys.
Well, that's a big responsibility that we've done, you know, for three decades. And essentially, it means being in a room like this, and you've brought friends and coworkers, a quiet room, spend a full hour with them. This isn't like where you just do like your GP, here's a cold, sore throat. You spend an hour, you get all the records, you dictate everything immediately, you send everything digitized, and you scan all the tests and digitize it, and you basically keep an open line of communication with legal representation. You also adhere to, as you say, compliance. I don't do therapy, chiropractic, that stuff, but I make sure the patients realize that they have to show willingness to get better. They have to do the appropriate tests. Sometimes I need to do injections and to meet with surgeons and do what they need to do to try to get better. And it's my job as the quarterback of the team, and I am the quarterback of the team, to make sure that they do their jobs. When I go through my note, it's very rigorous. There's a history of physical, an assessment, and a plan going forward. And that has to be very organized. And again, what is a plan? It's a platform for change. So if you try one thing we don't tell patients is you have to live with your pain. If we try one thing, we don't just say you have to live with it, get out of here. But many people do. Many doctors get frustrated, and we don't. And the fact is, bring your family members. A lot of people, as you know, they get very depressed. They need to bring, when they're not making money, they bring their spouse, their kids. We've got to be willing to answer questions, and this has got to be a family. So when they come in, I say, you're my family now, and they can tell. And it's also a nice environment. There's music playing. Everybody has a smile on our face. It's not one of the, we're not like Nurse Ratched, you know. Essentially, it's a happy place. People who pay and get depressed, when they come in, I don't want to say entertained, but I think you know my personality. They like being there. And if they like being there, and especially if we feed them,
that's important.
Especially if we feed them.
Like if you feed me.
You know what's good? If I feed you, I know you're coming back.
I'll be back. I'll just fake the injury. I don't care.
But that's so important too. Like, right. We need our clients to not just see Doc one time. It's got to be consistent, right? So you have to make sure they go back. And that's where it's so important.
Well, that's why I brought up compliance, Tom. And how often as attorneys and experienced attorneys, and I was going to ask you, you know, you talk about that environment that the doc brought up. If somebody's emotionally distraught, I don't care how injured they are. Sometimes they have a hard time picking themselves out of bed and going to treatment, okay? And so sometimes I assume that you feel like an emotional counselor as much as a legal counselor.
Yeah, so to kind of piggyback off of this compliance topic, I would say there are a lot of clients sometimes who might not make it in for therapy 1 week or 2 weeks, but they tell me, I'm in a lot of pain. And these insurance companies play by the same playbook. And one of their go-to strategies is to say, well, your client says he or she is hurt, but they missed 2 weeks here, they missed 3 weeks there, they skipped another two visits this particular week, and so they must not be that hurt. And it can really impact the case in a detrimental way. And so I think what Dr. Grossinger was saying was huge. Setting them up with doctors who create an environment for these patients and these clients where they feel like they're family. And not only do they feel like they need to go back, but they want to go back. They trust the doctor and they believe in what they're going to do for them.
It's such a big point. The compliance and the communication between the doctor and the lawyers. Talk about that, because I'm sure in your careers, wouldn't be, you know, especially coming up when you're younger, you know, you're prepping for court and the medical provider may not have, you know, mentioned a little point that because they're going to see their medical provider more than they are the attorney. Talk about that importance for communication between the doc and you know, because like you just said, you know, sometimes they may not, there may be a million reasons why they don't, but they may not put two and two together.
I mean, it's so important to our firm that we hired positions simply to be the liaison between the doctor's office and our clients. I mean, that's how important it is, because it can't be the attorney talking to the doctor all the time. It's just not feasible. Attorneys in court, attorneys meeting new clients, you know, depositions, et cetera, et cetera. We have to not only make sure that our clients are going to good doctors from the jump, we got to make sure they actually attend those appointments. We actually have to make sure that there's communication between the doctor's offices. If they're not, we got to get them back to go. I mean, communication, client communication is probably one of our biggest areas of where we're trying to use technology and automation. I mean, we could probably spend hours just talking about that, but it's so important to make sure that not only are you communicating with the doctor, but more importantly, your client knows what's going on. You know what's going on in their life. You know, if they see a new doctor, if they've gone to the hospital, if they started a new job, like, these are things that we need to know about at the jump, not during a deposition when you're like, well, how come you didn't tell me that? I mean, it just can't happen. So communication is an area of pain, concern, and it's also where we want to innovate the most.
Okay.
Joel, so just to bootstrap on that, some patients come in and they feel that they had a car accident 2 years ago, and they feel that they can kind of subvert or basically hide that from me, that's going to be advantageous, whereas it could be literally they could be hanging themselves. So I say, listen, you got to be open with me. You had the car accident. Okay, what do you had a neck strain? That's fine. Did you get better? Did you go back to full duty employment? Get it on the record. Just be honest. And it has to do with the detail. Also, the detail of the work injury has to be very detailed. What happened here? Because if there's one little small detail, did you lose consciousness? No, I don't know. Well, I don't know is a good answer. You might have had retrograde amnesia. There's people that could get hit in the head and walk around talking to themselves, and they have retrograde amnesia. And when the EMT shows up, they look like they're awake. They say they have the loss of consciousness, and now there is a discrepancy. So I, as a doctor, have to realize this may have been a loss of consciousness. It might have been they were awake, but they had retrograde amnesia. So this is the level of sophistication we need to deal with in our documentation.
So one of the things that, and I want to kind of mesh Social Security disability up with what Drew does. So Drew, we talked about a lot of different areas, okay, of personal injury. Okay, that the firm handles. But one of the things I want to make sure people understand is Social Security disability, it's not just related to a work injury. Okay, so you handle some of the most sensitive cases. Okay, Sol Orphan Zervanos handles some incredibly sensitive civil sexual assault cases. Okay, criminal cases where there's a civil element to it. Okay. And I remember I did a show with Sam one time, and Jerry did the first show, and it was on that topic. And I said to Sam, because I had just learned about it, okay, it was one of the most emotional shows I'd ever done in my life. I was not prepared. I couldn't put the two to, I thought it was just a criminal case when there was a sexual assault or something like that. And I said to Sam, Sam, we got to do this show. We just did one with Jerry. I learned a lot about it. When somebody goes through that, they could get badly injured, correct? And it may not be work-related, okay? Talk about, A, the civil part of that, why it's civil, why it's a civil sexual assault, why there are potential with lawsuit, because I always thought, because, well, the perpetrator's going to jail. How can you sue him? Probably, you know, potentially some, you know, low-life person with no, you know, maybe a vagrant, you know, who knows? Where's the lawsuit? Oh, I'm sorry. There may be a corporation or maybe a dimly lit parking lot. Talk about that. And then, Tom, if you would, jump on there in regards to how that person who is badly injured potentially during it may be eligible for Social Security disability. Drew?
Yeah, sure. So anytime there's a crime that occurs, there's two different legal avenues that you can go. You can go the criminal route, or you can go the civil route, or you can go both potentially. You brought up sexual assault cases, and you said, you know, most times you think about a situation like that, you're usually dealing with a perpetrator who is a low life, for lack of a better way of putting it.
One way or the other.
Almost uniformly.
Let's just be frank.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you pursue a civil case in a situation like that? Well, oftentimes it comes in the context of there being some other person out there or some entity out there that acquiesced and didn't do anything, failed to make a report, failed to supervise, and it's those things that enabled the abuse and the assault to occur. So a lot of times you'll see these sexual assault cases come up in the context of schools, you know, between two children. You know, kids need to be supervised within the schools. When you're at school, when you drop your son or daughter off at school, whether it's elementary school or middle school, the school stands in what's called in loco parentis, meaning they're taking the position or the role of the parent in those situations. It's their duty and obligation to supervise the kids just like a parent would. So you see it in schools, you see it in day camps, you see it in the church context, you see it in youth organizations like the Boy Scouts. So when it happens within those types of atmospheres, you do have potentially a civil lawsuit to pursue as well.
Because they're responsible for hiring people and doing background checks that are not sexual predators. Okay? I mean, and so you trust in your kids, and you know, there's so many different, you know, like you look at the Larry Nassar, where parents are saying, you know, literally speaking. Having said that, the devastation when that happens to somebody, you know, is in a sense, you know, it could be physically, you know, I mean, they could get brutally beaten or something, but also emotionally, the trauma. Tom, is there a relation there to Social Security disability?
100%. You know, when somebody comes into my office and we're looking at why they can't work, I'd say 60 to 70% of the time, it's probably a physical issue, right? It's a bad back, it's a serious injury, failed spinal surgery, headaches, diabetes, but then there's the mental component. And in a situation like you've described, some horrendous sexual assault, if that individual who suffered the assault is mentally can't focus on anything, scared, anxious, depressed, how's that person supposed to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week on a consistent basis? Maybe they can work a couple days here, a couple days there. Maybe they have a good day, a good week. But are they going to be consistent? Are there going to be days where they just can't get out of bed? They have disability as an option for them. It's really the easiest way for me to put it for the audience is, if you can't sustain a 40-hour-a-week job, you should apply for disability benefits. No employer is going to allow you to miss more than a couple days at work a month, right? They just can't keep you on the books if you're going to miss more than 2 days. So think of someone who's had that sexual assault. If you're in bed 2 days a week because you can't get out of it, you're not going to be able to sustain employment.
Joe, we see a lot of people, unfortunately, like you say, in schools, churches, institutions, where there's either physical or sexual assault. That's why neurologists have 30% of training in psychiatry. That's why we support them. We have Dr. Alan Silberman, who's an emeritus PhD Vietnam veteran, whose whole thing is counseling people. So when people come in and they have anxiety, depression, PTSD, We have to be able to point it out, document it, and get them to the appropriate treatment, psychotherapy. Now, one of the best things about Zoom, and the only good thing about COVID is Zoom. And so Dr. Silverman could be at his palatial Westchester office, and he could Zoom right in with the patient who's in our office. So I think that psychological support, having somebody to identify the psychiatric injuries and play them out. It's a concussion. Many of them have independent psychiatric diagnoses, such as anxiety, depression, PTSD, somatoform disorder. And we've got to be able to portray the full scope and also support them. And we have a lot of people who get in car accidents. They're afraid to drive. They can't get in a car, and they don't have the means to even travel. They're going to have a hard time getting to work.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up, Joe, and I didn't want it to seem like it was a commercial that I was doing for
I'll do that, of course.
So I'm in my 20th year of practicing now, and I remember looking at his medical records when I first started, and we sent for a neurology visit, right, and a treatment. And I would start seeing these notes from mental health from Dr. Silverman, right?
Silverman, yes.
And I'm like, that's brilliant. We didn't even ask for this. This is somebody who actually knows that it's not just the physical they're treating, it's also the mental. And I think you were one of the first doctors that I remember who would actually do that without even us having to say it. He just understood that people, it's life-changing events that are happening to them. Physically, sure, they're in pain, but what's that doing to their mental health? And you knew that early on.
What's interesting about it, because Sullivan Zervanos handles such a wide array of, you know, like you said, you know, the standard personal injury, but also this type of really sensitive area, and, you know, obviously Palmahockey and Dr. Grossinger. Talk about the culture, okay, the expectations. By the way, that first call from somebody, okay, could be just devastating. Like just trying to, make that call. Talk about what people can expect when they, because I know intake is so important to both firms. Okay, what when somebody calls your firm, and I just did a show with Jeff Fritz about what happened in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it was a pastor.
Talking about the superintendent of the Camden School District.
That's right. That's right. Okay, making that call to the office. Okay, I'd be afraid in some cases. Who's going to pick the phone? Talk about what people can expect with such private situations.
Yeah, so I think different firms take different approaches to intake. Some firms have just a private intake department, and those might be non-lawyers who handle those initial conversations. And their role is just to get the client onboarded as quickly as possible. I take, and our firm takes, a little bit different of approach. Right out of the gate, I have those initial conversations with the prospective client. I give them my cell phone number right out of the gate. I want to make sure that they're able to get a hold of me whenever they need anything. A lot of people will tell me when they come to me after maybe having left a lawyer that I didn't even know who at that law firm was my attorney. I just talked to some intake person on day one, and then they didn't even tell me who the attorney was. So we at Soloff & Zervanos, actually as lawyers, we talk to them during that initial phone call. Obviously, we have to figure out whether it's a viable case or not, but once we do make that decision, we'll go to meet with them. Again, like I said, I give out my personal cell phone number, and I make it clear to them that I'm always there for them, and they can call me whether it's, you know, morning, noon, or night. And you're right. Some of the conversations can be sensitive, and it's our job to make them feel heard and listened to and believed, especially when it comes to those types of cases.
Absolutely. Tom, I know you spare no expense or attention to detail when it comes to when somebody makes that call.
Oh, it's funny. Prior to this this radio show, I was talking to some new hires that we had, and I give this kind of the same speech to all the new hires, especially the intake department, every time we have new people come on. And it's when we get a phone call at our firm, it's people at their worst, right? You're not calling Palmahockey when things are going good in your life. You're actually calling Palmahockey because you've been hurt, so you're in physical pain. Now you're stressed out because you're not sure if you can work or support your family. If you have a family, bills are piling up. I mean, this is a highly stressful, highly scary time for people who are calling our firm. So if you're not getting a welcoming, empathetic, understanding voice from the jump, that's a problem. So it's a non-starter. If you're not empathetic, you're not getting a job at our firm. And number two, going back to holistic, it's we listen, right? We ask questions, but we listen, and we make sure that if you're calling for comp, we're looking at the third party, we're looking at Social Security, we're looking at any other legal issues you have. Then we'll, you know, obviously get you to an attorney. You'll get your attorney and have very much the same experience that Drew explained.
You know, we're coming to the end of this, and you know, certainly when I think about individuals and Tom, the one thing I'd like to say when it comes to Social Security disability is the standard of what it takes to, you know, to achieve. It's you, if I'm not incorrect from some of our past conversations, the standard is you can't be able to do the job you've been doing, correct?
That's for if you're over 50. So if you're 50 and older, we really focus on what you've done in the past. If you're younger than that, we got to prove a little bit more that you can't do anything 8 hours a day, 5 days a week on a consistent basis.
Okay, so guys, if you would, let's go around the horn and get everybody's contact information for our listeners. Drew, at Soul Office Cervanos, if somebody suffered a personal injury in one of the ways we spoke about, how would they get in touch?
My direct dial is 445-456-2713. Main office line is 215-732-2260.
Tom Giordano?
Yeah, I was just thinking about my direct dial. It's Pondley Hockey. Obviously, if you don't know who we are, then our marketing's not doing a good enough job.
That means you don't have a car.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope you've seen it. But Google us, of course. You always could do that. My direct dial is 267-508-6333. Firm is 215-578-7500. Obviously, 24/7, whatever we could do to help.
Dr. Grossinger, contact information, if you will.
Yes, there'll be operators on duty, especially Roz, who's a lot of fun and good at parties. She's 610-521-6063.
Okay, gentlemen, so we have a couple minutes left, and we certainly really enjoyed this. One of the things that I want people to know when they're listening to the broadcast, okay, is the importance of being able to understand what to look out for when they've been injured, when their life is on the line. Okay. Drew, what would you say to somebody who is, you know, in a bad way when they're looking for an attorney or a firm? What should they expect?
What should they expect? Well, I think, as I mentioned in the beginning or a few moments ago, the ability to get a hold of your attorney, be able to get regular case updates and have a constant understanding as to what's going on, having the ability as a client to know what this process looks like and set reasonable and clear expectations for moving forward, and then having your attorney deliver on those things.
What about resources? Somebody who's going in, asking questions, doing research, somebody who can, sometimes you have to go get the experts. Okay, Bob's cousin, Bill's friend's friend, is an attorney too. Why can't I just go to talk about the importance of being able to have a firm that has the resources to be able to represent somebody when there's a need for experts?
Yeah, so in a lot of these personal injury cases, especially the bigger ones, the big corporations, the big insurance companies, they think they can maybe outspend you. At our firm, we have all the resources in place where we can go dollar for dollar with anybody. And yeah, that means hiring the best experts, whether it's in a products liability case, hiring the best engineer on a very specific subspecialty, or whether it's from an injury standpoint, hiring the best medical experts like Dr. Grossinger. So our firm, like I said, has the systems in place where we can go dollar for dollar for anybody and we can't be outspent.
Tom, when somebody's looking for workers' comp or Social Security disability, sometimes people try to do it on their own. And they make the biggest mistake of their life. Talk about the importance and what they need.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you're going to go in front of a judge without an attorney representing you, especially one who actually knows what they're doing, and I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, is a specialist, right? You got an ankle injury right now. You're not going to go to a heart doctor for that, right? You're going to go to somebody who specializes in the ankle. So, obviously, you need an attorney. One thing I want to just piggyback on what Drew said, it's so important. I mean, you have to have lawyers who are willing to say no to a settlement offer, right? Because some lawyers, you don't know what's happening with their firms, right? You don't know what their bills are.
They got to pay the rent, right?
Right. It does matter that your firm is willing to say no because they know they can get you more. And that's really important.
Fantastic. Dr. Grossinger, closing words?
Closing words. I think the world of my two colleagues here, Pond and Lahaki, Drew Van Bargen, Soloff Cervanos, and we work together all the time. And I think it's very important to know that these are great people, not only great specialists, but great people. And you could feel very comfortable dealing with either one of these gentlemen.
Contact information?
610-521-6063.
I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show here on WWDB. We want to thank Drew Van Bargen of Soloff and Cervanos, Tom Giordano, Paul Mahaki and Giordano, and Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Grossinger Neuropain. Shout out to Tyler, our producer. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.